All right, man, what's up, y'all? Fidel Rodriguez, Divine Forces Radio, sitting here, right here with Immortal Technique. Got the new album out, Revolutionary Volume 2, straight out of Harlem. Get down to me, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing real good. I like L.A. It's a little colder than I thought it was going to be, but I'm from New York. It's freezing over there, you know what I mean? Freezing rain, 25 degrees, so this is cool to me.
Well, listen, real quick, Immortal, can you give... For our, you know, our Los Angeles listeners, our Chicanos out here, we got a lot of cats that are locked up listening to the show right now. Give them a little, you know, a little summary of Immortal Technique. Where are you from? I know you were born out of the country. You know, give them a little 401 about yourself.
All right. My name is Immortal Technique. I'm Peruvian and black. I was born in El Hospital Militar de Lima in Peru. I came here. I lived in Harlem ever since I was like, you know, about 3 years old. And it's interesting because my style is really based on talking about what really goes on in the street and then relating that to a global perspective, because I think we don't realize how much they're similar. You know what I mean? We don't realize how much the way things are set up to lock people in a little socioeconomic matrix of entrapment here in the hood are the same way that economic imperialism works to keep people in third world countries exactly where they at. Like, they won't let them process a certain amount of food for themselves. They gotta use a one crop economy, you know what I mean? It's like that. In the hood, we got a one crop economy too. It's called coke, or it's manteca, or it's something else, but we ain't trying to invest in our own businesses. So basically, you know, I kick it about, this shit I know about, it's hardcore, you know what I mean? There's nothing, you know what I mean, incense in the air, conscious, you know what I mean? It's just, listen, I'm just gonna tell you how it is. If you don't like it, then your ear's gonna bleed. That's the bottom line.
No, it's been one of the realest albums that I've got to listen to. Something that's inspired myself. It was a breath of fresh air, brother, listening to that album, you know, especially Revolutionary 1, too. How difficult, because of the content that you're spitting, has it been to be able to get your albums? You know, I know you went through a little mess trying to get this album out.
Yeah, but that's a small-scale operation we're talking about. And by and large, what we have to realize is that it doesn't matter what you rhyme about. I can rhyme about bling bling and my bitches and my hoes and, you know what I mean, how many cars I have. Or I can rhyme about blowing up the White House. I can rhyme on some Revolutionary Volume 2 about Public Enemy type stuff, you know what I mean? But at the same time, the label's still going to approach me the same way. You know, it's still a business. You know, the corporate structure don't give a shit about the culture. It's not about that for them. It's about numbers. You know what I mean? If you could sell a certain amount, then they're interested in you. You know what I mean? The same people that denied me my distribution the first time because of the quote-unquote political content or because they thought it was a little too hardcore, quote-unquote, are the same people that come to me now because they see me sell 20,000 units on my own. So they're like, oh, at the end of the day, he's a good businessman. He knows how to market himself. You know what I mean? He's not somebody who has like green M&Ms on his rider. You know what I mean? You know, I need hot towels at 28 degrees. Nah, man, come on, B. You know what I mean? I need food, water, and nobody searches me or none of my peoples when I come in. And that's self-explanatory. You know what I mean? So I come through to wherever it is. I go wherever I need to. You know what I mean? I don't care. I rock for any crowd. You know, we just did something in Diego for this youth conference where a lot of the kids had, like, they grew up in underprivileged homes. Some of them were 16-year-olds and they were fathers or they were mothers, you know what I mean? Or they had a parent in jail. So I talked about, like, my jail experience. I talked about, you know what I mean, coming up as an independent businessman and, you know, telling them, listen, learn the business before you think you know how to rhyme. There's a lot more money to be made behind the scenes than there is trying to be the star. Because, you know what I mean, you see the star of a movie, they making like $6-10 million. You think that's big money until you see the producer or the director or somebody else that's involved with the process of making it. So I'm like, it's the same way with an album. You know what I mean? With me, it's different though, because I'm not only the star of the show, I'm the producer, I'm the Mel Gibson. You know what I mean? I put up all that dough. You know what I mean? Except I ain't trying to cause no controversy with no. You know, my controversy is based on factual information rather than on, you know, speculating about theology. You know?
Well, you know, it's a trip too. One of the questions I kind of wanted to ask you, because it's something that's been on my mind the last couple days. We just got to experience another coup, the 33rd coup in Haiti. And we see the Bush administration up to their old tricks again. And what I wanted to ask you, especially concerning hip-hop, I don't know if you got to listen to commercial radio out here. It probably sounds the same, like it does out there, homogenizing everybody. But what do you think is the future of hip-hop in terms of what this administration in the U.S. is continuing to do. I mean, literally, what happened in Haiti just kind of like, it got me, it set me off again.
It's like this. When you have a situation where people completely control the media and they can say something and do the complete opposite, that's when you know you have absolutely no political power as a people, because you have no economic power as a people. You know what I mean? Che Guevara said it himself. You know, in order to have political sovereignty, you need economic sovereignty. When people don't control the businesses in their own community, then they have no voice politically. You know what I mean? So it doesn't matter how much the Haitian community roars and screams about what goes on. You know, they're always going to be treated differently by the immigration authorities because they don't have the economic base that Cuban Americans have. You know what I mean? Of course, it's a racial issue too, because they're black and most of the Cuban Americans that come over here are white Spaniards, you know what I mean, who identify more with Europe than they do with Latin America. So that's another big factor. But really, you know, it boils down to dough. You know, the Palestinians were as affluent as AIPAC is here in America. You know, the roadmap to peace in the Middle East would look a lot differently, and so would that wall. You know what I mean? I tell people that all the time. And pointing that out doesn't make anybody anti-Semitic. It makes them intelligent. You know what I mean? Pointing out historical facts is really where we need to go with it. We need a historical perspective to what goes on. You know, Haiti was the only country really in the Caribbean to have the first, but I'm saying like the only country that just instilled that type of fear in the colonizer. I mean, that Dessalines, the black rage, you know what I mean? Basically killing everything white that existed on the island. And these people were scared and they were like, Africans are animals and all that. But then again, they went back in history afterwards and they were like, this is not how these people went to war before. Where did they learn this type of brutality? Harming a child in order to affect a parent. You know what I mean? That's not part of a warrior mentality in Africa. That's a disgrace. And that was something that was done to instill fear in an enslaved population. That's why I tell brothers, that's what they do to us now. That's what the feds do when they run up on you. Anybody who's in jail right now, they know that's what the feds do. They don't come after you, dog. They threaten to indict your mom and your pop. They said, we're gonna give your mom 10, 15 years because she knew about all that money that you had. And you forced to cop out to them 200 months, you know what I mean? 186 months, because they give you straight time. They ain't trying to hear that. 6 to 10, nah, dog. 182 months. On the day that it's 182 months, you're going to be out. Otherwise, you spend the whole day of your life. Unless, of course, nowadays, they letting brothers out just to snitch and get people to come back in. So that's, I know that's big in New York, so I'm sure it's big out here. You know what I mean? It's the same formula everywhere, yo.
You know, one thing I want to leave with is I want to ask you to talk about the significance of black-brown unity.
I think people don't understand how black-brown is sometimes. You know what I mean? A lot of people don't understand the African roots that they have in their culture. You know what I mean? My grandfather's black, you know, and my mom raised me always to be proud of that. She said, listen, when you tell people you're Peruvian and black, don't fall off on the end of it. You know what I mean? Because honestly, I'll be real. There's some racism in my family. You know what I mean? Some people have some stupid things to say. But my mom was a strong woman, and she never tolerated that. She was like, nah, don't let nobody, you know, talk about that. That's a proud part of your history. Because on one side, you got, you know, the indigenous so-called Latino heritage that, you know, invented science and math the way we know it today. And on the other side, you have, you know, an African civilization that was basically the beginning of civilization. So she was just saying, listen, if these two people can get along, they don't realize the base that they have. But that has to be centered in something besides blind idealism. You know what I mean? It has to be centered in having economic control of your own neighborhood, having a plan. You know what I mean? Not just a bunch of rhetoric and a bunch of dead people from the 60s on your wall. That doesn't do anything for anybody. You know what I mean? Wearing a shirt don't make you revolutionary. You know what I mean? There's nothing more revolutionary than being a grandfather. You know what I mean? Than holding a stable job, than investing in something that's not a liability. You know what I mean? Than passing down knowledge and saying, this is how we need to organize as a people now, rather than in the past, because the past methodology don't work right now. The formulas need to be updated. You know what I mean? We can't give the same speeches again and again. We're not dealing with the same problem. You know what I mean? Back in the day, in the early days of the so-called revolution in America during the 60s, you know what I mean? There wasn't such an issue about religious motivation for demonizing Islam, because Islam didn't have a role that was as significant as it does now in the public eye. So that's really where it's at.
All right, man, I'm with Immortal Technique. You got some last words for Southern Cali. tonight, and also let people know about a website they can check out the album if they need to get it.
All right, yo, peace. This is Immortal Technique. Check out the website at www.viperrecords.com or immortaltechnique.com. You know, you can cop the album on there, Volume 1, Volume 2. I'm going to have another album coming out soon. And also, if you pick up Double XL this month, the one with Biggie on the cover, I got the Show Improve on there, so check it out. Check out my peeps, Diabolik, you know what I mean? C-Ray's Walls, my man Sean Price, Saigon, Stimuli, Foul Play, Quest John. Everybody, we coming hard this year. We going to destroy things. Beautiful. It's going to be a problem. Yeah.
Keep giving us bullets, baby. We using them out here, man.